Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. You know me. My name is Ben. I write some videos here at the website.
And I'm Scott. I edit some stuff here.
Some auto stuff.
For the Auto Channel.
Yeah. Scott, the name of our show, as you and I know, is, well, I hope I'm not spoiling this for you, High Speed Stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we talk about, you know, things that go fast.
Yeah.
Let's take it to the nth degree, man. Let's stop messing around with good concept cars or fast boats or anything like that. Scott, what is the fastest car in the world?
The fastest car in the world? I'll just go ahead and blurt it out because that's what we're going to talk about the whole time here. So the fastest production car is an Ultimate Aero TT supercar, which is manufactured by Shelby Supercars. And it's a U.S. manufacturer, which is actually, you know, this is pretty remarkable that they hold this record right now because it hasn't been a United States manufacturer that's held this record since 1967.
So decades.
Yeah, and that was the Ford GT40, which in 1967 held the fastest production car record.
So a little under 50 years, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And we're talking about, well, I guess we should clarify this right up front.
Okay.
We are talking about the fastest car in the world measured by top speed, a production car measured by top speed.
Oh, yeah, we should say that because we do have another podcast with the Bloodhound.
Yeah, that's right. And that's, yeah, exactly.
That's not a production car.
The land speed record car.
Right.
No, that's not. That is not a production car.
Yeah. Listeners, if you have enough money, you can go out and buy
any version of
this car.
Exactly. This car, any of the cars we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because there, and, you know, we should say that there are other cars that may be faster 0 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may be other cars that are faster 0 to 100 to 0, but they're not street legal. Or they are street legal and they just don't meet the top speed because they maybe don't get to the top speed that this one does.
Yeah.
This one is very specifically the fastest car in the world measured by top speed production car.
Should we even call these cars at this point or should we call them supercars?
they are supercars. We'll just stick with cars.
Okay, we'll stick
enough,
with cars.
Yeah.
All the cars are super in this podcast.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
Okay.
So it takes an awful lot to get onto this list, Ben, but I have a list of top 10 fastest cars in the world. It's relatively recent, but to give you an idea, and I won't go through every one of these, I don't think.
Oh, come on.
Okay, quick.
Right.
I'll do it quick, and I'll butcher some of the names, I'm sure. To get onto this list, number 10 on the list of fastest cars.
The very bottom guy.
The very bottom, 205 miles per hour.
Wow.
And a 0 to 60 speed of 3.9 seconds. So you're talking motorcycle quick.
Mm-hmm.
The Porsche Carrera GT, which has a base price of $440,000, is what you could get for, 205 miles per hour, 10th place on this list. So that's entry level on this list.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give you an idea of where we're going from here. There are nine cars that are faster than that.
Now, 10, number one's the best.
Correct.
Right? We're going up?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So number nine, the Lamborghini, I always have trouble with this one, Murcielago. I'll try that, Murcielago. The LP640, which has a top speed of 211 miles per hour and a 0 to 60 speed of about 3.3 seconds. The base price on this one, I think this is the cheapest car on my list, Ben.
Okay.
So the Lamborghini Murcielago.
There you go.
I see. $430,000. So that's the lowest price vehicle on the list here.
Hang on. I'm going to go ahead and write out my check. How do you spell that?
Yeah.
No, I'm just
not
kidding.
Even going to try it. Here's another rough one.
Right.
Number eight, Pagani Zonda.
What's a Zonda?
Zonda is an awesome looking car. You better just look it up. You won't even believe it. It's unbelievable.
Okay.
Just check it out. It's a Zonda F. 215 miles per hour, 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. Base price, way up. $667,321.
I'm willing to roll the dice. Let's go to the next one.
7 Jaguar XJ220, which is, this is remarkable because this was built in 1992.
Wow.
And it has a top speed of 217 miles per hour, and it does 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds. The base price is $650,000. So
see, but that's a quality car, especially 92.
92,
I mean, that's pretty old
and
in this competition.
You know what? It looks... It fits right in line with the rest of the vehicles.
Yeah,
I mean,
it really
has
does.
That supercar look, of course, very aerodynamic. The next one, number 6 on the list, this is a surprise. I thought it would be higher.
Hmm.
Ferrari Enzo, 217 miles per hour, 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. The base price is $670,000. And as you can imagine, limited production. There's only 399 of these produced. So, you know, pretty rare.
Yeah, I thought it'd be higher though.
A lot of these are really rare like that. They have very low production numbers. All these cars do.
Like dozens or a few hundred.
Exactly. Yeah, they're very low. Hand-built, of course. Number five, McLaren F1.
Yes.
Check the top speed on this. 240 miles per hour. 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds.
Wow.
And the base price is, I've always heard this is a million-dollar car, but it's $970,000 is the base.
Is they that sell, without a radio?
They sell for, you know, and I bet it does not have a radio, I'm guessing. But it, McLaren is, this car has always been awesome.
The
day it's been released, it still is. I've always heard it called a million-dollar car, but they're saying it's a little bit less. But I would guess that they sell for a little more than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure there are a couple amenities you get.
Okay, here's a rough one.
All right. You mean rough in terms of pronunciation?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Number four, Koenigsegg.
Oh.
CCX.
Yeah.
I think that's close.
Let's just call it the CCX.
The CCX. 245 miles per hour, 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. Base price is just a mere $545,000. Not bad.
Well, yeah.
Not bad. A Swedish car, but it's pretty awesome. Number three, Saline S7 Twin Turbo. Again, a good-looking car. This is a it's a U.S. vehicle. 248 miles per hour, 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds, and base price of $555. So we're getting a median here.
Yeah.
At right around $500,000, $600,000.
Yeah.
Number two.
This
here
we is
the go. Big one. The Bugatti Veyron.
Which used to be number one.
Used to be number one. That's right. As was at one point the Koenigsegg. The CCX.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
The Bugatti, it ran a, it ran, I think it was an, what do they call it? Where it's not unregistered. What am I thinking of? Unverified.
Oh, yeah. Record. Unverified speed.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't have a verified speed, but it had an unverified speed of 253 miles per hour. 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds. And, because this one has a, W16 engine with 1,001 horsepower, and the base price, this is the most expensive car on the list, and it's not number one, $1.7 million. We've talked about this one in the past.
Yeah.
And if you want the convertible version of that, I believe it jumps up to $2.2 million.
Actually, this was from our episode, The World's Most Expensive Car, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it's number two for the fastest at 253 miles per hour.
Well, that's the very least you would expect.
Number one, as we mentioned,
yeah,
the SSC Ultimate Aero, which is built by Shelby Supercars. Is that right, Shelby Supercars?
Shelby Supercars. Yeah. Jared Shelby is the owner.
Okay, 257 miles per hour. And that's 0 to 60 in, get this, 2.7 seconds. And the base price, compared to the Veyron, a bargain, $654,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just, yeah.
So that's the long, boring list there. Now we can get into some
how
of the details
is that,
here.
How is that boring? I think we're putting this in context. We're showing, why do I like lists more than you do?
I don't know. And I'm the one who always brings them in, too. I'm like, I got a list, but I don't know if I should read it.
No, yeah, you should always.
But you always
because
have to read it.
We love the stats. And also, if you think about it, it's doing exactly what we did, what we said we set out to do, which is to put this fastest production car in the context, just so you can see. The competition is pretty close. There's not a car there that's under 200.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. 205, I think, was the starting point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 205 is the starting point.
Yeah, exactly.
And NASA, did you get this stat?
What's that?
NASA has actually done some wind tunnel tests with the Aero TT and verified that it can still stay stable in excess of 270 miles an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you know what? That brings up an interesting point because this record for the Ultimate Aero, it was achieved on a stretch of public highway, which I find just remarkable, unbelievable.
Yeah.
All of the other tests that I mentioned, all the other top speeds, they were all done on test tracks. So they're known surfaces, really well cared for, racetrack facilities, no chance that, you know, a dog or a deer or whatever, a pickup truck's going to pull out
somebody
in front of you.
Somebody in a Geo Metro.
Exactly, yeah, that, you know, that's going to pull out in front of you. I guess I can't say that deer won't pull out or drive in front of you. But
they're everywhere,
man. Did I say drive in front of you? A deer, if you have a deer driving in front of you, you've got problems. But on the tracks, I guess it's possible. But anyways, they're in a much more controlled environment is my point.
Yes.
And the Ultimate Aero was on a stretch of highway, particularly Highway 221 in Washington, mm-hmm. and it was done on September 13th in the year 2007. Now, of course, for the Guinness World Record run, they blocked off the road, and it's miles and miles and miles of road that it needs to do this. It takes a long, long way, and there's a good example of this if you go online and search for, and I think we've maybe even recommended people watch this before.
Mm-hmm.
There's an episode of Top Gear where they top out the Bugatti Veyron.
Yes.
So you get an idea for the speed of this thing. Because that's roughly ballpark the speed. I mean, you're talking about a difference between 250 and 256, which is the official speed record.
Because mm-hmm.
That was the speed that this one was traveling. 256.14 miles per hour is the record. And that's based on, you know, two runs opposite directions on the same road.
Which you can hear the mechanics of that in our earlier podcast on land speed record.
Yeah, exactly. And they do it the exact same way even if it's on a stretch of highway. But again, that's remarkable that it was able to do that on a public road versus a test track, because, you know, that's just so controlled.
That was not the Autobahn.
but if you watch the Bugatti, the Bugatti achieving 250, you see what this takes. I mean, he had to leave. This is a long, long stretch that it's so far that you can't see the end of the track. It follows the curvature of the earth. Even you can see the curvature of the earth in the track. It's so flat and straight. You have to exit the last turn, even on this long stretch, at something like 120 miles per hour, and then hit full throttle. It's just, and in order to be able to brake in time, you can only push it to a certain point. You'll just barely make it to the top speed, and then have to shut it down. So this run by the Ultimate Aero is really remarkable.
Yeah.
It takes an awful lot. In fact, I looked this up. Sorry if I'm going on and on here, but the 250 mile per hour barrier is extremely difficult to break for a car. And you'll find that out in the Veyron test. These cars are all roughly shaped the same way. They're very wedge shaped, very slick aerodynamics.
That's just the necessity of friction.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, these things have 1,000. Well, to give you an idea, the Bugatti has 1,001 horsepower. This vehicle, the SSC, it weighs less. It has 1,183 horsepower and 1,094 pound feet of torque. It's an extremely powerful engine. But it is DOT certified. It's a street legal vehicle, and they're going to make about 50 of these. To get to 250 miles per hour, which you really can't do this on a public road, of course.
No.
Even the Autobahn, you don't have a long, straight enough section that you'd be able to do this without having someone blocking traffic for you.
Or just driving in the middle of the desert without a road.
Yeah, but you would have no idea what's ahead of you because things approach so quickly. I keep going back to this Veyron video because it has such good information of what it feels like to go that speed and the distances traveled and what, you know, what's required to get there. I know I keep talking about the Veyron, and this is an SSC podcast, but
No, it's comparison.
It is comparison. You're traveling something like, I think they mentioned a football field, and I don't know if they're talking about a soccer field, probably soccer. You know, U.S. soccer.
Oh yeah, they are
not U.S. football, but you're traveling that distance every second.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about just tremendous distances covered. You're not going to be able to see and react to what's happening ahead of you in time.
I've got a comparison.
Yeah,
that'll help. The average speed at which I think it's NASCAR drivers are going when they remember how earlier you had told me when they blink. It takes 37 feet.
Oh, this is IndyCar.
IndyCars,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Kart series, I believe, is the information. Yeah. Yeah, the old championship auto racing teams.
So if you know, how long does it take somebody to blink?
Oh, yeah, tenth of a second, I think.
Yes.
Tenth of 1 second.
So even then.
Well, they're traveling. See.
If it's a football field, a second, man?
No, that's the thing. This car is traveling faster than a Formula One car. This car is traveling faster than an Indy car. It's exceeding that. It's going beyond what a Formula One car can do, and this is a production car that you can drive on the road. This is remarkable engineering. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But to get back to what it takes to get to 250,
This
is real quick. I mean, I'll be done with this quick, but it requires the Veyron requires about 270 horsepower to get to 155 miles per hour. And that's with, you know, it being extremely aerodynamic, lightweight, et cetera. Very strong, a lot of torque. Again, this thing has a 16-cylinder engine, 4 turbos, 10 radiators. It's a remarkable machine. The SSC is similar. It has a great big V8. An aluminum block V8 with the displacement's not that big. It's like a 387, but it does have this ridiculously high horsepower and torque rating. But the Veyron does need it needs an additional to get that last 100 miles. You would think it'd be easy.
Right.
It's much more difficult to make the last 100 miles per hour between 155 and 255, or actually 250. It takes the additional 730 horsepower.
Just to get that?
To get from 155 to 253.
You know, that's exactly the opposite almost of what I would have assumed.
You would think that it's already rolling and it's already doing what it's supposed to be doing to be easier than to start it from...
You would think momentum's on the side.
Exactly. But the downforce that's required, the downforce is working against it, the wind against it, it's just that much harder to climb from 155 to 253 that requires all of that additional horsepower, the 730 horsepower. That's why they had to make it, you know, the 1,000 horsepower monster that it is.
Yeah.
And of course, the SSC is the same way. It's that last 100 miles per hour that's the toughest. That's where the climb is relatively slow. Mm-hmm. Now, the gearing is, I mean, this may be the last thing I mention here, but then we're done. But the gearing is really remarkable. I mean, it's 0 to 60 in 2.78 seconds. This is from the site.
Okay.
Quarter mile goes by in just under 10 seconds at 144 miles per hour.
Wow.
0 to 100 to 0. So acceleration.
Up and down.
Exactly. 11.6 seconds.
Really?
I
don't know if I'm responsible enough to drive that.
It's ridiculously fast. Yeah, it's really quick.
Would you drive that car?
I would.
I mean, to work?
No doubt.
You would
drive to work? No, not to work. But I would drive it as much as I could.
Yeah.
First gear, you can take all the way up to 61 miles per hour.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, my car, I'm in fifth gear by that point. Second gear, you can take it up to about 85. Third is 126. Fourth, 165. Fifth gear, 215. And then in sixth gear, you're finally at the 286 point, and that's where you can push it all the way up to top speed in sixth gear.
Mm-hmm.
286 is, that's what you're saying, is around the top end of this thing, right?
Well, right.
Miles per hour.
Here's the thing. It's stable at 273, but it redlines around 260.
Okay.
So I think...
This is from their site, and it says sixth gear... You're capable of getting up to 286 in sixth gear. Now, I don't know where that number comes from, but from what I've heard about being able to climb that last bit, now how difficult that is to get that last 100 miles per hour, you're talking, you're getting close to 300 miles per hour there in that number
right.
I'm talking about. Stability, I've got to say, is probably gone.
Yeah, at that point, you're just trying to... I mean, your eyes and your reflexes move so much more slowly than the car at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And when you see the video of these things traveling at that speed, a car at 250 on the road, it's unbelievable. I mean, you just can't fathom how quickly this thing is passing.
You don't see it for very long.
No, you don't.
I mean, you could literally, depending on your vantage point, you could literally miss it by blinking.
You could miss it. If you bent down to tie your shoe, it's gone. You know, it's coming over the horizon, it passes you, and it's gone. And you would hear it, of course, but you'd hear it coming.
Oh, yeah, like a plane.
Yeah, exactly. But, you could look away for just a second, and you would miss it.
And this title... The title of the world's fastest car changes a lot the same way that the title for the world's oldest person does.
Yeah,
you know, the turnaround is pretty high.
Exactly. Yeah, it was broken. The record is broken a few times before. Because remember I said there was an unofficial record
that
the Veyron had. That was the word I was looking for, unofficial. I don't know why I couldn't get that.
Was it unverified?
That's something like that.
That's close.
Close enough. But, this was, of course, supervised by Guinness, so it's got the Guinness World Record. The previous record was the Koenigsegg, which I mentioned. These are all very close. I mean, they're at this point, the 256 mark that that the Ultimate TT holds, it's likely that something else will come along that will do 257,
right.
258.
Yeah.
No one's going to come along. I shouldn't say no one because it may happen, but
not yet.
It's not likely that someone's going to come along and do 275.
Right, or whip out, 312 or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and even if they did have that, it almost seems like they would sandbag a little bit. Like they maybe would say, we can beat that, and they do a run that's 260. and they just kind of sit back and let that last for a while and let someone try to break it, and then they can just continue to break it with their car. That's a way to gain, you know, some type of momentum behind something.
Well, also, Scott, it's kind of like the Olympics at this point. You know, when you have the world's best athletes competing with each other, then what they're really worried about is somebody shaving a tenth of a second off, you know, and that's the level that this, I hesitate to call it a game, but that's the level at which we're at.
It's just the point where they're breaking it by fractions at this point. And it's still, I mean, you're still talking about, you know, 260 miles per hour, 256, really.
Oh, yeah, you'll still be a pretty big deal, at least in Atlanta.
That's right, yeah, that gives you some street cred.
Hey, man.
And that's what this is all about, is the bragging rights for fastest streetcar.
Yeah. And hopefully you will get a chance to see one of these. Maybe it's the one. You know, Scott, I'll be honest with you. I would drive a lot of vehicles, but I don't know if I'd be comfortable driving any of the vehicles on that top 10 list.
Really? Just because of the cost or the speed or the...
The speed. Yeah, I'm crazy.
Well, you don't have to drive them that fast. You don't have to go 205 in a Porsche. You don't have to go
like a moth to a flame, my friend. I could not. I don't.
There's a time and a place.
There's a time and a place, and it's...
Well, you're not going to... I mean, even the 205, it's not likely that you'd be able to find a place that you'd be able to do that because of the distance required and the control necessary to do that.
That's true, which goes back to bragging rights.
Yeah.
You know,
it's, I mean, mainly you could do this. You could do it. Extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous.
Yeah, could does not always equal should.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
rarely.
Do you want to do some listener mail?
Sure.
All right, Scott. Jeff writes in, and Jeff writes in for two reasons, motorcycles and pet peeves. He said that he agrees with you about the cigarette butts from the window because he rides a motorcycle and he wears a full-face helmet and a leather jacket. But every time he wonders why he's bothering with all this, you know, this helmet and this jacket, somebody usually flicks a cigarette out of the window and it hits the visor on his helmet.
Oh my gosh, that'd be scary, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and he's left wondering whether the butt is between his legs, you know, or did it make it to the ground.
I was just going to ask that. I mean, did it stick inside the collar of his zipper, you know, his coat?
Yeah, he just says that he's left wondering, you know, because he is on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And he can't just stop and you know, check around. And then also, he said he'd like to hear more about motorcycles, and he wanted us to make an announcement and tell all the listeners that with the motorcycle season coming soon, please remind everyone to keep their eyes open for us motorcycle drivers, because this information doesn't seem to be taught often enough in driver's ed. Motorcycles are out there, and there are important safety issues and differences between cars and bikes, which means a lot of drivers just don't see motorcycles.
Good message.
Yeah, so for all our bikers and our car drivers out there, please keep an eye out. We know it's getting warm and beautiful outside, and pretty soon everybody will be on that great American road trip, right?
Oh, yeah, it seems like I see hundreds of motorcycles every weekend. Because it's already getting warm here, everybody's getting their toys out of the garage, and it's just that time of year. So, just be careful. Watch for motorcycles. He's right.
So we're heading out. As we said, the weather's nice. We don't want to be inside all day. Right, Scott?
That's right.
Yeah. So in the meantime, while we're out and about, why don't you guys send us an email with any topic suggestions or something you'd like to see in a future episode?
Yep. You can reach us at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.